Just Curious.
Welcome to Just Curious Media. This is Zen Dog Training. I'm Jason Connell.
And I'm Gordon Fontaine.
All right, Gordon, we are back for episode 6 of Zen Dog Training. Boy, they're starting to mount up, my friend. And this one, this is a biggie. This is kind of like we were talking before we started recording. It's like, this is like the table of contents. You're letting people behind the curtain more now. And this is exciting. So
yeah, I'm going to shift gears a bit. I know we like to keep the episodes like a very digestible, but I do want to explain a big overview of what it is that we do at Zen Dog Training that's so different and special.
I agree. And I'm learning your methods as we go. And I know, and I always try to get clarification here and there, but there are, if I'm not mistaken, 2 secrets that go to the core of Zen Dog Training. I'll let you divulge the secrets. I do not know them yet. And there's also, within the secrets, there's 5 training methods that you've built and you and your instructors follow. So I'll let you take it away. I am here learning as we go. I'll ask questions, but I'm excited to learn these secrets.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I won't even get into the 7 essential lessons.
Oh my gosh, it's too much. This is a 2-parter.
No, I like to joke here, but I do talk about it's a secret and there are 2 parts of the secret and 5 okay. methods. And I feel it's important to start here with, like you said, the table of contents. The secret to Zen Dog Training is to focus on creating situations where you, the human, controls the outcome. That's the start. I can get to examples of what we mean by that, but the idea is that you are going to control what your dog learns. I'm not saying I want to control my dog. I want to control my dog and the environment in a way that helps my dog learn the right lessons.
That's great. I love that.
And this is
very
important.
Zen,
this
I
is
would
important.
Say.
Thank yeah. you. This is important, though, because of how dogs learn. Dogs learn based on what they get away with. So if you allow your dog to sort of get away with unwanted behaviors, then they quickly learn, they know what works. They're just like us in traffic, right? If I know there's a shortcut that I can take and avoid a traffic light, we all take it. They just see this line of cars that are like, oh, right, yeah. I bang a right here and a left there and I miss all this, right? So there's no unteaching that. I had this client once and the dog, oh, it was a big Rhodesian Ridgeback, a puppy, and he jumped up on the table and started eating pepperoni pizza. And the owners
in
are
your
laughing.
Session.
No. They told me about it later. The
oh,
owners are
okay,
laughing.
Okay,
the kids are laughing. But you can't unteach that pepperoni pizza no. lives on top of that counter. And so the counter surfing was just embedded because that one time, mm-hmm. the puppy got up and ate the best thing he'd ever had from the table. And wow. so that's what yeah. I mean, the secret. It's like if you're laser focused on creating situations where you control the outcome, then it's easier to prevent the unwanted behaviors, and it's easier to use one of the 5 methods to either, you know, increase behaviors or decrease behaviors or make sure that your dog is learning the lesson you want them to learn.
Yeah. Well, back to your story. Did they ever stop the table surfing? Is that it? What would you advise them, Gordon, to do?
That was a tough one. That was a really tough one. And I don't know if they did because they don't necessarily taking the dog training seriously.
Got it. Well, that's it. It's all about the trainer. You know,
yes,
they have to follow through. They have to buy into it. They have to be consistent. Because like you said, a dog's looking for what they can get away with. And if you're not training that dog, they're going to push that envelope and as much as they can get away with. So, well, this is fascinating. So I love secret number 1. What is next?
All right. Well, secret number 1. So part 2. So once I have this attitude that you're going to control the dog's environment, and I do want to use an example to bring that home. Part 2 is to strategically create teachable moments where you drill each lesson in. And that doesn't necessarily only mean positive. It means I might create some negative outcomes. So my dog says, oh, right, you don't want me to eat acorns on a walk.
Interesting.
And so let me give you an example.
Please do.
So play biting puppy. Everyone reads on the internet or whatever we see on TikTok, there's this shunishment techniques. We call it shunishment in Zen Dog Training.
I like that.
Yeah. You act hurt. The game is called Drama Diva. It's been, you know, everybody uses this. I feel like you sound like, oh, and you take the attention away from your puppy.
Yep.
And so that's a cool method. I have to say it's an advanced method because it requires the owners, the people to actually take the attention away, which is something it's hard to do. It's hard to sort of like look away from the nipping puppy.
Right.
So it's actually hard to do that method correctly. But we hear about it. It's like, great. And my clients say, oh, that's for the first step. And I say, no, 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 no. The first step when your dog yeah. starts to get crazy is to either call them to you in the other side of the room or just gently grab them by the collar and physically interrupt and pry them off of your child's leg.
Right.
Put an indoor leash directly on their neck or on their harness. Put the leash on inside the house. And now with the leash on, it's easier to choose one of the options.
Right.
So if mom is, you know, stepping on the leash and the kids go, ow, they turn their backs and walk away and the puppy can't chase after them and jump up on their backs.
Yeah.
So those shunishment techniques only work if you've carefully controlled the environment.
Yep. And they're not getting what they want out of it. And they're hopefully learning to disconnect like, oh, I don't always get what I want or seeking. I am being punished, but in a controlled way.
Right. The shunishment works as opposed to, you know, someone turns their back and the dog goes, plays with the other partner, or drinks some water or something. Right. The shunishment lesson needs it. So that's why shunishment techniques are more advanced because you have to carefully structure the environment first.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then the other side of that is with the indoor leash on, it's easier instead of having to grab the dog's neck and fur to walk him away, it's easier to do a physical interrupt, which is one of the methods we'll get to, where you just take him out of the room, you walk him away from the child, you walk him away from the environment, and you can do it in a peaceful way that isn't grab their neck or do something crazy where the dog starts to associate you with a negative outcome.
Yeah. Or pick them up completely, right?
Keep if you pick them up, that's a problem because any touch.
It breaks everything. Yeah.
Well, it can be a touch is attention. And so that touch can be a reward.
Yeah. No, I mean, it breaks the lesson because you're right. Now they're like, hey, I'm getting love. This is great.
Right. Yeah. You pick the dog up and they're like, oh, I love you, Dad. And it's not the same clear message as like, I usually use a joke of like a bad comedian who gets the hook.
Yeah.
You know, they
come right off stage.
Right off the stage, as opposed to sort of like a wishy-washy, like, oh, are you biting? Naughty dog. So that brings us to the five methods.
Okay. Five methods. We need like a drum roll, I think. No, I'm just kidding.
So that baseline is the positive and negative. You got the positive and negative. Now,
got it.
Those are the go-tos. And then the next method is like the shunishment techniques.
Okay.
And those are methods where you've set up an environment where you're able to take attention away in a way that helps your dog learn.
Right.
But like I said, it's advanced because it's more of a structure, you know, you have to use a pen or an indoor leash or have something set up so one person takes the attention away and the other controls the dog. And so we start combining these things. So for a play biting puppy in that same scenario, child's getting nipped, they go, ow, and they turn their backs and the dog's like now jumping up on the kid's back because it's a puppy. And so an adult comes in, takes the dog by the collar, or even calls the dog to them, which is one of the two interrupt or request, puts the indoor leash on, and now sets up a teachable moment. And in that teachable moment, they can choose the interrupt method. They can choose a, you know, do this instead, or they can choose to do the shunishment repeatedly. So the dog learns, oh, every time I bite the kid, all the play stops and it stops being fun.
Interesting.
Now that's three.
Okay.
That's three.
Got it.
The fourth is actually the place where a lot of people need to start, especially with puppies. And that's what we call a coping strategy. And what that is socializing your dog. It's also known as a desensitization and counter conditioning plan. And that's treats for exposure, making sure your dog knows that, you know, whether it's a kid or adult or a person entering your house or a cars, trucks, buses, noises, that's all okay.
Right.
And so the reason I really want to harp on this is that I've even had clients come to me after working with a veterinarian behaviorist. Now, this is a person who charges like $350 an hour. Mm. I know. I do not charge that.
That's my rate. That's a lot. I know. I get it.
But $350 an hour, right? And then they leave the session and they're blending the positive reinforcement with the desensitization techniques. They're two separate tracks. Like my dog looks scared. I say, it's okay. It's okay. I do jolly talk, treats for confidence. Do a thing called yoga breath.
I like that.
Which is the cue that, hey, you need to chill out. It's okay.
Oh, yeah. And even some of those, though, Gordon, I'm sure you run into this. Some phobias you're not going to get rid of. I had dogs that were just terrified of fireworks. So I had to have fans on in the house on 4th of July and keep it locked down. And I didn't want to drug or sedate them.
Of course.
I just kind of kept that environment. But I don't know how I could undo some of these things. They were just there.
And it's great that you brought that point up, Jason, because that management is what I'm talking about for The Secret.
Got it.
So back in the day, I had a comic book, a graphic novel that was called, you know, Management Tools. And that's when I changed it to The Secret. Because nice. It is as simple as having a bag of treats and a 6-foot leash. We'll talk about why that's important later. And a front clip harness, because it allows the owner to be in control in a peaceful way. If the dog gets scared, there's the treats are there for confidence building. If there's a distraction, chicken bones on the ground or acorns, it's easy to just be able to look at me. Oh, well, I had the good stuff. And the dog knows, oh, I don't need to eat the gross stuff on the ground. My owner has the treats.
Yeah.
But hey, forget those treats. And I know I don't want to be like Mr. Treat Guy, but I am, because you forget those treats and you're stuck in just the get out of there mode, as opposed to like, look at me. Oh, you're so smart. What a good dog. And then it all goes back to happy mode again.
Yeah. And what is the fifth one?
Ah, there are ways to come up with mild, gentle punishers. Timeouts, for example, where your dog is never startled or scared, but you set up a scenario where it's like, hey, that was the wrong answer, and you're overstimulated, and they're taken out of the environment.
Okay.
And so the mild punishers, and again, that might be a really tough one to do in a podcast because it is kind of some of that secret sauce. But honestly, 80, 90% of cases, if you just interrupt, your dog knows what you want them to stop doing, as well as the positive reinforcement. Most problems are solved this way.
Yeah. Fascinating. Well, you have let people behind the curtain. You've shared your secrets, your methods. That's it. Podcast over. Success. Take this and run with it. No, it's not that easy, is it? I'm sure you go into homes and use these methods. When you come back again, you have to see if they've actually been doing these methods. Have they continued the training? Because dogs don't just get it once. I've raised puppies. I know it's consistency. Consistency.
And that's why the secret is two-parted. So one part is like, are you creating a teachable moment like from the get-go? But the second part is the who, what, when, where.
Right.
How are you going to get this lesson to be imprinted through repetition? And so the thing that's counterintuitive, and this is where our training magic happens, is putting your dog in situations where you can do some mild interruptions when the stakes aren't that high, like on a walk. I really have owners take control of the walks. So that, you know, don't eat that. Let's go walk with me. Boom, boom, boom. And the dog gets a sense of, oh, they have to listen to their handler, their owner.
Yeah.
And then it works more likely when it's like, oh, is there a chicken bone in his mouth? Drop that. Because you've already practiced in so many other low stress environments. It's not always just trade me for a treat. Sometimes it's like, no, don't do that.
And this is great. I'm glad we did this kind of broad strokes, because I think as we break these down in depth, you'll bring more stories, because we could isolate these as their own episodes, because there is so much in there to unpack. You could bring some real life situations, because I know from raising a puppy, you think you've got something solved, and then there's something new because they're growing, they're pushing the boundaries, and you're like, hey, this used to work. And then that's where you, being an expert that you are, can guide someone to the new solution or way to look at it differently. But it's just so fascinating. So it's one thing to say, here's all the stuff, but then it's applying that and knowing how to do that.
Absolutely. And I do feel like when I'm going back to when I talk to a client on the phone, I want them to see that it's not just positive reinforcement.
Right.
It's also not corrections that are mean. It's this combination of knowing what method to choose and apply depending on the dog, depending on the situation, depending on the behavior, and honestly on the people. Because some people are really, they need to tone down the anger, aggression, mean stuff.
Yep.
And some people need to get firmer. Like we said previously, the dog isn't a furry baby that we, you know, they're a dog who needs these boundaries and need to know the rules.
Yep.
And it doesn't have to be mean, but we definitely have to set some, you know, this is what you do, this is what you don't do as part of their training.
And one variable we haven't talked about this episode is sometimes you're training a dog in a house that has other dogs in the house, and they could be different breeds. And that's a whole other thing. That's like a deep dive series, because I'm sure you deal with that too. Like, he's learning it from this guy. Wow, I'm sure you have many stories to share.
Yes. And I think one of the things that we've talked about with this podcast is like, you know, what's the Zen part of this? And I think after the years, you know, every time I see this new trainer comes up through the ranks, or this woman wanted to interview and wanted to work with me, and she had done this really intense program. She's a graduate degree dog training, but she was so, I just want to use the word black and white. Like, everything was like, you have to do it this way. Da, da, da.
Right.
And the Zen part of this is like, we are humans.
Mm-hmm.
We are humans. So when I go see a doctor and she says, you need to lose weight or do this, or, you know, get better in shape or more exercise, or how much good advice do we not take because we're busy and we're just human?
Yeah.
And so I don't get angry. I don't get like firm. Let me give clients the bare minimum of like, this is the principle that you need to believe in, you need to follow. But I'm not going to just be a stickler about every little detail. They don't need to be a dog trainer. They just need to get their dog to the point where they're happy.
Zen.
Yeah. When I look at the other people's books and I look at other people's, it's kind of like, it's me a dozen years ago where I'm like, darn it, why didn't you listen to what I said? Do it this, with this. And it's, it's not taking the reality of the relationship of a busy owner and who's got family or kids and lots of other stuff going on. Or frankly, if you're sick, if you wake up with a headache or something, you can't even exercise your dog. You can't do any of that stuff. So you really have to be aware of what they're capable of and then giving them just enough so that they can improve their dog without having a ton of extra work. So I like to think that our training is faster and more efficient because people know where to put their energy and where to put their time.
Right. Fantastic, Gordon. And again, I'm so glad you shared these secrets today. I cannot wait to delve into them further and the 5 training methods. Anything else you want to add before we wrap up this episode?
Besides the 7 essential lessons?
Well,
sure, we'll do that one later.
Now that's overwhelming our listeners. So, fantastic job, Gordon. Thank you all for listening. Please, please give the show a 5-star rating, a 5-star review on Apple Podcast, and check out zendogtraining.net. Lots of great stuff on there. Wonderful things. This has been going 19 years strong. So a lot of information just sitting there for people to take. I mean, this podcast is a component of that. It's a way to educate and share beyond the website, which I know we're all excited for. And check out justcuriousmedia.com for all the other shows that we do. Gordon, until next time, my friend, thank you so much.
Very much looking forward to the next one.